Thank you for joining us for this CMC Weekly Podcast. God has a fulfilling and rewarding life for you as you pursue His plan with all your heart. Our prayer is that you'll find direction and wisdom as you connect with us through our weekly podcast. Join us now for today's message.
I'm just thrilled to be here. This is my first time to ever preach on a big stage. And I'm pretty pumped today. So, man, you guys are knocking it out here. I love Christian Ministries. It's just in me. It's who I am. The vision of Christian Ministries. Every time I come, there's something being built, something new. And it's just, once again, it's a reflection of what's going on in the hearts and lives of the people. I love Christian Ministries. Over the past 12 years, over 12 years now, we have had Christian Ministries in Southwest Missouri. And God's just continuing to build and grow and do there. Invite any of you that are coming up to Branson area to stop by and see us. God's doing great things. Over that time, I have loved every year our vision, just given the church direction for that year. Well, this year, stronger and stronger, as we've embraced this vision and we're a part of daily strengthening ourselves, one of the things that I gave and we gave to our staff and our leadership was that we are to be strength trainers. And so what I have done this year is I've really prayed at the beginning of this and the vision, as Tim and I were sitting down last year talking about it. What avenues can I give the church that will strengthen us? And so that's been my heart this year, is every message. Are we strengthening the church? Are we strengthening them in the areas that we need to grow in? Well, as God laid on my heart this year some of those areas, there was one word that He just kept bringing to mind. He said, grace, my grace, my grace. You've got to get this, Ashley. You've got to get the word grace. And the reason why that was so big is because I knew that the word grace would strengthen the church. It would strengthen the church. The problem that I saw every time I started trying to dive in it was the world's view of grace and the church's world's view of grace. The church and the world have two different views, two different understandings. You remember the panel that we had, that we did here with talking about the cultural war that was going on in America. We did that in Missouri. And it was really a big deal to show the people that the Christian's view is not wrong. It's biblical. The problem is that we've redefined words that are biblical words for a world understanding. And we've got to understand what grace means. You know, you hear the word grace and you also hear the word mercy. And they go a lot hand in hand. We look at them as the same thing. Well, let me challenge you today to listen to what God's given me to strengthen the church today so that we can get His view on grace. Not a worldview, but His view. The word grace, the free and unmerited favor of God. Everybody's heard that definition. As manifested in the salvation of sinners and the bestowal of blessings. See, it's grace is given for us to be saved. We get that. It's the unmerited free, you didn't do anything for it, gift of God. God gives us that, and aren't you glad? Mercy, very similar but different. Compassion or forgiveness shown towards someone whom it is within one's power to punish them. See, it's forgiveness given. Everybody has given their child mercy. I mean, every parent has given their child mercy. Some give more than others. And children love mercy. I mean, really. They deserve punishment, but for whatever reason, you gave mercy, and you could have given punishment, but you didn't. You gave them mercy. Come on, young people, you ought to be amen in that one. Well, that's right. I love mercy. Grace, though, takes it a step further. See, you did nothing to deserve a blessing, but you got favor. That's great. Wow. Yeah. That's right. Mercy just means you didn't get what you deserved. Grace means you got something and you didn't deserve it. And there's a difference. See, I thank God for His mercy, and I kind of understand mercy a little bit from a parenting standpoint. We don't get what we deserve, but I'm amazed by His grace. I really am. This year, as our church is getting stronger and stronger, I want to look more and more like Him. And as we study Him, you'll have to understand the heart of who God is grace and mercy. And I kind of have mercy. I mean, I've had people talk to me in a way that I didn't deserve to be talked to, and they deserved a punch in the face. But I gave them mercy. And I'm real quick to give it if they're bigger than I am. But we understand mercy, but you know, grace, mercy's one thing, but grace is a step further, and that, you know, that's just kind of God's deal, not mine. And that's a lot of times the way we look at it. Well, how does God see it? Psalm 116, verse 5 says, "How kind the Lord is, how good He is, so merciful this God of ours." Kind, good, and merciful. Again, that's God. You got to have the right view of God. But then in Matthew 5, verse 7, He says that God blesses those who are merciful. Why does He do that? They will be shown what? Mercy. God blesses those who are merciful, and they will be shown the blessing of mercy. So we kind of understand that. Be merciful. It's a pretty big deal. But grace. Not just not getting what I deserve, but getting something that I did nothing for. That's hard. How and why? If we go to Ephesians 2:8, everybody's probably memorized this if you've been a Christian any time. By grace, you have been saved. Through faith, but by grace, you've been saved. See, when you start getting a hold of this, through faith, not from yourselves, it's a gift from God. Now, all of us that are Christians in here today, the majority understand that we are saved by grace, and without grace, salvation doesn't come. Without grace, relationships do not exist between you and God. By grace, you have a relationship with God. Because you didn't do anything to get that favor, He gave it to you. Grace. But once again, that's God. I mean, I can't save anybody. God did that. So, I mean, obviously that's His deal. We've got to get a hold of this, and what we miss is how the world views it. See, you see grace as often a word that's thrown around, it's struggled with, it's hard to define. We celebrate and praise it. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. I mean, we celebrate it. Yes, that's it. But I think we also, as Christian people, we misunderstand it. Especially when it comes to giving grace to others. We're fine with God's grace, but if we're to look like Him and be imitators of God, then we are to be able to give grace. And what we mess up is this. I think that many think when we say we should give grace, they're thinking that we give a free pass. We give a free pass. And those free passes usually relate to things that aren't even spiritual matters. We equate little things, like someone that we allow to come in and see our messy house and ask, would you just give us grace? I mean, giving us grace, because that's equal to letting them in and see our messy house. We give grace to non-spiritual matters, but when it comes to spiritual matters, as a church, as we're growing and growing and growing and strengthening, oftentimes we've got so a hold of living a glory to glory life that we forget what introduced us to the glory to glory life was grace. And the more we grow, and now we've got a full staff of leadership that we've trained up in our church, and I find that I am helping and encouraging and having to teach all the time, give them grace. You've got to give them grace. You've got to give them grace. And I just, the more I was talking about that, the more I found people would take what I was saying and they just let them off the hook. Just give them a free pass. And I realized the church has a misunderstanding of grace. Because it's not a free pass. Grace is not a free pass. John 1:14 says, "And the Word became flesh, dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." The inability to bring grace and truth together is where our culture is missing it. They don't get this. Our culture rejects the idea of calling someone to account, even if it's out of love. You can't call anybody. You can't tell anybody what they've done wrong. You can't. See, no matter what, you have to accept them. The culture has messed up our understanding of grace and is thereby stealing its profound meaning and its explosive power. And the sad thing is it's in the church that we've missed this. A free pass says, I see your sin, friend, and I will not call it what it is. I'll ignore it. And see, when you give a free pass, the world says you're really loving that person. That's not grace. That's not grace. Really, you're just choosing to take the easy path, and grace isn't easy. That's why when we look at God and say, how does he do that? You got to realize it's not easy. There is difficulty in administering grace, and the world has defined grace as free pass, but the church has to understand it's not. You know, when you look at the world's definition of things and the churches, it's just different. Lost, saved, we understand things different. But we just do. Now, our goal is to get them to understand it. But we've got to get to the point, as we're wanting to give grace, to understand what we're giving. We got to get this. Let's see how God gives grace. Here's what God says. I see your sin, and I name your sin specifically to you through the Holy Spirit revealing the truth to you. So that's what the Holy Spirit does for a Christian. He reveals the truth. And then he says, I paid the way for that sin by dying on the cross for you. And you don't have to cover it. You don't have to ignore it. And you don't have to try to deal with it on your own. Because of Christ, you have an avenue to be free of your sin. Confess, repent, you're forgiven, and I'll help you change. That's God's definition of grace. Grace looks directly at sin and points it out specifically because of love. Not to show love, I'm giving you a free pass. We've just got a wrong definition. Grace changes us, it doesn't excuse us. So that's how God sees it. And that's how we should see it if we're going to imitate God. The purpose behind it is to strengthen us, to get us stronger, to move people past where we were. Free passes leave you where you're at. Grace moves you beyond where you are. Into the glory life. Real good. So what does it mean to give grace to another? Philippians 1:6 says, and I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, how did he begin it? With grace. That's how he began the good work in you, with grace, will continue his work until it's finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. See, in other words, we're all in a process. Not in a process of free passes. It's a call for us as individuals, as the church, to engage the process God himself gave us. You engage the same process with gentleness, with truth, just like God did, reminding our friends that the path of confession and repentance is available to them too. That's grace, cheerleading alongside our friends as they change and do it all out of an intimate relationship and a deep love for each other. Now, the process of grace is a call for us as individuals, as the church, to engage with what God himself has given us. Grace is offering a blessing to strengthen people into right actions. Think about this. It's offering a blessing to strengthen them into right actions. It's not a free pass or an excuse. God gave us grace with an intent. What was God's intent? A personal relationship. Why do you give grace? With the intent for a relationship, first maybe with you, but ultimately with God. You've got to understand the reason for it. We're losing our relationships in the church because we don't understand grace. Grace will help us go to the next level. And people can move past living on grace to glory living. That's been my message for years. But we'll never ever help anyone move to glory living if we don't first implement grace. That's the first step. I've got a guy that came to the men's retreat this weekend. A year ago, he got saved. And he is one of those guys that didn't grow up in church. He knows nothing about the Bible. He's never read it. And everybody knows someone like this. And he's all the time coming and going, Ashley, he goes, here's what I'm thinking about doing. And I mean, almost every time he says that, he's going directly against the word. Just almost every time. I've never had anybody that I have tried to mature in the things of God that just has no clue. I mean, just every time you turn the corner, it's just, no, that's probably not a good idea. Here's the thing. I've got leaders coming up. I'm about to do away with this guy now. He's just, all the time, he's frustrating me. You're going to have to give him grace. He doesn't know any better. And so, giving him grace. You've got to understand what grace means. We're giving that so we can move him. We're going to call out what we're seeing. We're going to help him think right. He can repent, recover, and then he can be restored to a right standing. And that's where grace has to keep being implemented. He came up and he said this weekend, over the last year, I have a better marriage. That's it. I have better kids. You wouldn't believe the first 3 months he was in our church, his kids screaming, trying. And everybody's like, what are we going to do to shut them up? Well, we got to give grace. Okay, but giving grace doesn't mean leaving them screaming. So we got to help them in love and encouragement. But you'll do that to manifest a relationship, not to send them out the door. Now, how do we do that? That's the hard part. That's the hard part. But we have to understand the meaning before we can take on the task. You have to get the meaning. Well, he came up and said, my family's changed, my life changed. My business is at a place I never dreamed it would be. And I'm telling you, I couldn't be more thrilled to be a part of Christian Ministries. Thank you for putting up with me. You talk about grace. Bringing a man and his family to a place he could have never. So if the church don't understand grace, we're not going to be able to take anybody anywhere. People don't show up having arrived. Galatians 6, my chapter. I'm going to finally talk about what I came here for. Galatians 6:1. Here is a Spirit-led Christian extending grace. Chapter 6, verse 1. Dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by some sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path. But be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. Share each other's burdens, and in this way, obey the law of Christ. If you think you are too important to help someone, I love this, you're fooling yourself. You're not that important. I like when the Bible just tells you the way it is. That's what it does. Two types of people here. The first one is those who stumble. The second one is those who are burdened. Just talk about those briefly today. First one I'll illustrate. Those who stumble, I'll illustrate this a little bit by a story. A sheriff deputy was on the road when he came across a one-car accident. A man driving a pickup truck with a horse trailer had blown a tire and wrecked into a ditch on a lonely road. He was thrown from his truck, the horse was thrown from the trailer, and his dog in the back of the truck was also thrown. The deputy first came across the horse. It was badly injured. There was no chance that it would recover. So being a humane man and hating to see an animal suffer, he drew out his pistol and he put it out of its misery. Then he saw the dog. It was badly hurt and it was whimpering. There was no chance it would live either. So he put it down with a single shot. Finally, he located the driver of the truck, and he was lying over in the ditch, and he had several broken bones and wasn't even able to get up. The deputy ran over to him and said, are you okay? The man said, I never felt better. never. Regrettably, it's really true that the church seems to be the only army in history that continually shoots its own. And one of the ways we do that is a misunderstanding of grace. Because we don't know how to help people. We don't know how. See, this person here is guilty. He's caught. He's caught in what could be a sin, or what could just be he was caught by what he got involved with that someone else was doing. But either way, speaking about someone who is guilty, others know about it because we can't be quiet. Everybody knows about what someone's dealing with, what sin they're having in their life. And we can talk all about it, but we have a real problem understanding we need to implement some grace here because we don't know what it means. So we need to implement some grace. Well, what does that mean by implementing some grace? Helping them admit that they're wrong in that area, avoid some consequences. No. Accept the consequences of whatever you did, and then let's restore and regain this relationship. You messed up, but let's not. The goal in extending grace to a person who has stumbled isn't to tolerate. Let's just tolerate that. That's what society says we're supposed to do. But grace is given as an act of restoration, of restoring them unto God and unto their friends and their relationship, not casting them out. The second one, to those who are overburdened. Some people here today, I'm not going out on a limb, I'm confident. There are people here today, single moms, single dads, struggling. Struggling financially, some are widows, some's a young person who's faced with pressure, and they're about to cave at school, and nobody else knows. Someone else is having job trouble. When you find out, Paul says, bear one another's burdens. Now I looked up the word burden. And if you look up and see what that really means, it's talking about a load, because you can't bear just a burden. You've got to bear a load. You got to handle it. You got to be able to strengthen yourself to handle what someone else is carrying. But all of us have loads, don't we? I mean, just getting out of bed in the morning sometimes is a load. Good grief, this is tough, a load. Well, what kind of load it's talking about, I want to give an illustration to understand what kind of load. Let's say you're going on a one-week pack trip into the mountains of Colorado with a church group. Just your backpack. Everything you need for the whole week you're going to carry on your back. Each is going to help carry food and supplies for the benefit of everybody there. That kind of sounds like the church, doesn't it? The benefit of everybody here. The morning of the 20-mile hike in, everyone loads up their backpacks with provisions for the trip. You drive to the trailhead, and everyone puts on their pack. 10 miles into the trek, you're doing okay. You're still doing all right. Looking around you, there are some that are really struggling. They just can't seem to hack it. You think, well, what's their problem? But that's okay. The more the other guy struggles, the better it makes you look. What you don't realize is that in the loading of the packs, your pack is full of potato chips while the other's loaded down with cast iron skillets. And you're watching the guy struggling with cast iron skillets and you have potato chips. See, some of us pride ourselves in the way we carry our pack. We don't realize what the other guy's carrying because you can't see inside. As long as we look good, we can be content with somebody else who's just struggling. Well, as long as I'm okay financially, as long as I'm okay in my family, and we miss what they're carrying. Boy, aren't I something? You start thinking, when in fact you're nothing. If we would just take some of the load the other guy is carrying and add it to ours, we wouldn't have quite the same air about us. And we would get to our destination a little faster, and it would still benefit everybody there. Wow. See, that story just helps you understand the giving of grace or favor. The one who's carrying the load, you're not just exempting them from their load. Here, lay it down. That's not going to help them. You're going to take on. That's the favor you're going to give. You're going to help them get to their destination, because their destination ultimately is yours too. That's grace. That's grace. We as Christian people need to see through love and extend some grace. The world's view of love is not understanding of grace, and love doesn't mean that grace is given with a free pass. Paul writes on in verse 10, "Let us do good to all men." Now that's pretty inclusive. Let us do good to all men. Well, who do I extend grace to? Paul said, let us do good to all men. Isn't it good that God extended grace to everyone who would receive it? Now, I understand there are people that you want to give a biblical meaning of grace to, and they won't receive it. God understands that. But you don't give a free pass. You give help to take them into a relationship. Can we do it? What do you think? Can we do it? Sure we can. And many of you are. But for those of you that didn't understand grace, my assignment today was to come and give you an understanding of it from a biblical perspective, because we hear the world saying to Christians all the time, y'all just don't understand grace. You don't understand mercy. You preach it, but you don't. And they're wanting us to understand it from a perspective that's not biblical. A biblical perspective means we can extend grace to the person who doesn't treat us nicely. And at the end of that extension is a relationship. See, if we do it right, can we extend grace to someone who's a total stranger? Sure. Can we extend grace to a neighbor who never says hi? Oh, well, Pastor, you're just kind of getting in my business now. You got to understand that they're not going to do anything to win your blessing or favor. So you do that. That's what God did for us. When we realize that grace has been given us, then we can get stronger. And if we're going to grow Christian Ministries Church, you haven't arrived. You haven't arrived because a stage is built, because a church is. We got work to do till we see Jesus face to face. Otherwise, we'd be taken out the second we gave our heart and life to Him. There's a continual work. But what we do is we forget that it all started with grace. And when we get the true understanding, then you don't just sing a song and celebrate it from a God perspective. You celebrate it from a perspective of, I am going to take on that trait in my own life. And I'm going to minister that. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Just like my friend, he didn't see it, but through grace now he does. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear. And then grace, my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear. The hour I first believed. Amazing grace. Come on, church, we got to get an understanding. We needed it. We needed it. Without it, we couldn't be where we're at today. What do you think the person who you haven't met yet needs? They need grace. They're going to mess up. But you're going to help with a biblical understanding of restoring them into a relationship ultimately with God. And you're a part of that. You are Jesus here. The bride of Christ. You are the church. You got to understand that in that the body of Christ here going out. Well, how did God do it? Is how we're going to do it. And it starts with grace. And then we'll teach them into a glory to glory living. And we're good at teaching glory to glory living. But we got to get a hold of a biblical meaning of grace. We got to get a hold of it. Amazing grace. Isn't it worth it? It's worth it. It's worth it. It's worth it. Y'all stand. I'm glad that God saw it worth it for me. I'm glad He did. Why don't we see it worth it for someone else? Let's see it worth it for someone else. Let's go out and let's build the kingdom of God. Father, today, I thank You. I thank You for Your amazing grace. I thank You, Lord. I thank You what You made possible. I thank You for a man in our church who would have been easy to outcast and throw away. But God, we got a hold of a biblical understanding of grace, and we restored them. We brought them to a relationship with us, and then ultimately we were able to point to you. God, I thank you that lives are changed because of grace. Lord, not a free pass. Not a free pass. That's not, we accept the consequences, but we thank you that we're moved to a new place because of grace. God, I give you praise today that this message will go out and it'll accomplish great things in your kingdom. And I give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
You have been listening to the Christian Ministries Church Weekly Podcast. Join us each week for more messages from CMC.